Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two smartphones that are making waves in the budget end of the spectrum, and these are the Motorola One Power and the Redmi 6 Pro from Xiaomi. Now, these two phones are being reviewed by our in-house Android enthusiasts and review experts. One of them is Royden Serejo, who's reviewing the Redmi 6 Pro.
Hey guys, what's up?
And the other person is Aditya Shenoy, who's reviewing the Motorola One Power.
Hello.
Yeah, so Royden's review just got published. Aditya is in the process of testing the Motorola One Power. So his impressions and his testing results are not final yet. Mm-hmm. He'll mention as we go along with the podcast what's not completely tested yet. But whatever Royden says, you can take it as sacrosanct. It'll never change. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so his thoughts on the Redmi 6 Pro are pretty much final and based on our in-depth testing. Right, so first, maybe we should talk about the Redmi 6 Pro since, you know, we are further along in our testing process and our review is essentially complete with that phone. So, when I saw the Redmi 6 Pro, I was not very excited. Honestly, Xiaomi unveiled that phone along with two others, the Redmi 6A and the Redmi 6.
Yeah.
Now, the Redmi 6 Pro was the most expensive of the three phones.
Yeah.
And that was the only phone which did not come with that asterisk of, you know, we may change the price of the dollar versus rupee value changes. That is probably because they used components that were previously used in older Xiaomi phones. Yeah. And providing a phone that has the Qualcomm 625, Snapdragon 625 chipset. At around 10,999 and 12,999.
So 11,000 and 13,000 essentially.
Yeah, that does not exactly look like a great deal on paper. But what does your testing tell you?
So here's the thing. So this is a couple of things why I think Xiaomi made this phone. This is their first Redmi phone with a notch. So, and given how popular the notch is, despite many people hating it, it's still very popular. So I think Xiaomi wanted an offering in that budget entry level segment with a notch because I think many people are looking at that. Hmm. And the Realme 2 recently also launched with a notch. So I guess to counter that, they've launched this. However, given looking at the Redmi 6 and the Redmi 6A and the pricing and positioning of the Redmi 6 Pro, it's really hard to justify why that phone actually exists.
So it does not feel like a proper Xiaomi phone, like good hardware at very low pricing.
Exactly. As in, like, it's not a bad phone. Like I said in my review as well, it's not a terrible phone by any means. But Xiaomi already has better offerings, which they launched just a few months back, like the Redmi Note 5, which is actually 1,000 rupees cheaper. Hmm. And the only thing you really lose is that secondary depth camera, depth sensor, which again is not a huge loss if you ask me. But it excels in every other area compared to the Redmi 6 Pro, and it's 1,000 rupees cheaper.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is just basically adding to the confusion. Like, if you look at Xiaomi's lineup right now, it is just very hard to make a decision on which one to pick because they at least have two variants of each model, and at some point, each model overlaps with the other one.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and
true.
So, like, overall, it just doesn't make sense why the 6 Pro exists, and it's just not a very good phone overall to use.
Yeah, so the Redmi 6, Redmi 6A, these two were launched in the, you know, more cheaper end of the segment.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were at around, 6,000 and 8,000 respectively.
Yeah.
So if you look at those two phones, they still, I mean, we would say, like, if you look at the specifications on paper, the value for money aspect, as we discussed in the previous episode, is right up there. But then if you look at other phones such as the Redmi Y series, which, you know, is a selfie-focused series.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the Redmi 6 Pro, vis-a-vis the Redmi Note 5 Pro and the Redmi Note 5 and also the, you know, Redmi 5.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, like, what great value for money these phones offer. So it's really hard to tell which of these Xiaomi phones offer, you know, a good value for money, especially if you just look at the name and the number.
Exactly.
But you will also have to do your own research every time. And, like, for a brand that sort of prides itself in, like, offering better specs than the competition at the same price, this is just sort of adding to the confusion a lot. So, with the Redmi 6 Pro, is the camera anything special, or is it just, you know, about average?
So, there's nothing special. I mean, it's sort of good in under good lighting. If you click photos in daylight and stuff, it's good. Macros are also kind of good, although it's like very fine detail. It's really difficult for the sensor to resolve really fine detail. Like, if you're clicking flowers and stuff like that with, you know, really
tiny stuff.
Really tiny stuff and really fine detail. It can't really resolve that. No matter how steady you may be or even the best lighting conditions, you just don't get that level of detail, which is okay considering the pricing. Right. Like, I'm not expecting pixel level camera work here. Low light is pretty bad, however. It's like really bad. The HDR is very slow. Even in daylight, it takes like at least a second or a little more than a second just to save that image.
And also the focusing speed.
And the focusing speed too dips in low light pretty badly. So low light is abysmal. But again, it's overall just another average. It's just like any other Xiaomi phone. It's good in daylight, weak in low light.
Yeah, because that was the same result that I found with the Redmi 6 as well. Like in when you have proper lighting, it clicks good photos. But in low light, the drop is substantial.
Exactly.
Like even selfie for the selfie camera, you click it in good light, you have good details.
There's no selfie flash on either of the phones, by the way.
So that's
even on the Redmi 6 or the Redmi 6 Pro, you don't get a screen flash.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not put a screen flash? It's just a software implementation, right? There's just so many things they've limited on.
I think Xiaomi is focusing all of its selfie efforts on the Y series, which is kind of the selfie people who like to click a lot of selfies. So then the Y2, which I reviewed, and that had the exact same hardware as the the Redmi 6 Pro, like 625.
Except for the an HD display HD and a smaller display. Battery, I think. Yeah. Everything else is very
that's
similar.
That's the only thing. And over there, you get a selfie flash as well. So, you can actually go for that phone, which will be cheaper as well. It's under 10,000 rupees.
Yeah.
So,
Another thing what really disappointed me is that given the Pro branding that Xiaomi has given the phone, it doesn't really... Like, the Pro is supposed to signify, like, the best hardware and the best, you can give. But the 625, which is the same chipset on the Redmi Note 5, which has 4K recording, the Redmi 6 Pro does not have 4K recording.
So, but that's what. And,
even one more thing, sorry. It's got a manual mode, but the only things you can change is the white balance and the ISO.
Is limited, right?
Just
the Redmi
6 settings.
Had more options.
The Redmi 6, which is a cheaper phone, has much more options, like shutter speed and everything.
Yeah, so it's a pro at making money for Xiaomi.
Exactly.
And hence
so they're basically selling the notch, essentially. Yeah. And it's not a very pretty notch also. Let's just be honest.
The pro point that Royden put in, it's a very good point, primarily because the first time they got the pro branding was for the Redmi Note 5 Pro.
Exactly.
And at that point, they had introduced the new Snapdragon 636 processor that was very powerful, unheard of at that price segment. Whereas when you look at the Redmi 6 Pro, it has a 625 processor, which is nearly 2 years old now. So, there's nothing pro about it. It's basically Xiaomi. It's a pro for Xiaomi because probably that's where the fattest margins are.
So,
I was just looking at Royden's review and I made a quick note of all the positives and the negatives. So, the positives, as far as I can see, decent pricing. I mean, not like terrible pricing for the 10999.
Yeah, for the entry level one is sort of okay, I guess.
3GB RAM and 32GB storage. Yeah. Okay, battery life is good.
Battery life is very good.
Yeah. Then display and build quality, pretty decent.
Is also good.
And that it has a dedicated micro SD card slot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now look at the list of cons. Okay. No dual 4G VoLTE.
Now this will be a big deal breaker for many, because many people, if you even see the comment section of our product page itself, many people are upset that the fact that this phone does not have dual 4G. So if not, even if it doesn't have dual VoLTE, I think a lot of people use dual SIMs. And everyone is on 4G these days, all our mobile operators. So it's a bummer to, not have dual 4G.
So what and does it do? Second SIM is restricted to 3G?
Yep. You have to
restrict it. And that's not possible, primarily because the Snapdragon 625 is an older processor. And, at that point of time, there was no concept of dual 4G.
Yeah, I mean, that chipset doesn't support.
The chipset itself doesn't support. And that is primarily one of the reasons. Because when you look at all the chipsets that Qualcomm has on offer, the highest end processors like 660 onwards, 636 onwards, 630 also maybe, has dual 4G and dual VoLTE support. Whereas on the lower end of the segment, there's you don't have that kind of support on Snapdragon processors. And that is one of the reasons, could be one of the reasons that Xiaomi has gone for the MediaTek A22 and the P22 processors for the Redmi 6A and the Redmi 6.
Do they have dual 4G?
Yeah,
but that's my point, right? Then how is this a pro model when you're crippled by the SoC? How is this a pro model?
I'm
just trying to wonder that.
So I don't think it's a consumer-facing pro model, as we keep saying. Anyway, so the laundry list of cons that we made, some of which we already discussed. Camera autofocus is really slow. Speaker is not very loud, which is a pretty big deal, to be honest. Notch doesn't look very good, as you mentioned earlier. Low light camera performance is terrible. App scaling is not very good, not very well optimized for the notch.
So basically, the app scaling that I'm talking about is mostly when you hide the notch. So if you hide the notch, a lot of like even the calendar the top portion of the elements tend to get cut off.
Wow, so it's not optimized properly. Basically, what they've done is, since it's a first phone with the notch, they've pretty much just pasted MIUI on top of it without having...
Essentially, you know, I'm sure they would fix this, but for a phone that's already gone on sale, this is the second flash sale, remember?
Yeah.
And it still has these teething issues, which is pretty disappointing.
And then we've also mentioned a couple of others, I think. Doesn't come with inbuilt headphones in, I mean, the box.
Yeah, there are no earphones in the box. I don't think that's
like a standard thing for Xiaomi, right?
So you don't have... headphones in the box.
Yeah, still like a bit disappointing to see at this
price.
But again,
at that price, exactly. Yeah. At 13,000.
Yeah. I mean, I would actually not complain about it so much if it's at the Redmi 6A level. Exactly. 7,000. After paying 13,000, I should be getting headphones as well. Then finally, we, you know, something we always like to mention is flash sales. So
yeah, so getting one is going to be a pain.
I think it's not going to be a pain with no 4G and, you know, 625. It's not going to fly off the
shelf. So I actually went and checked during the flash sales. The higher end variant, the 4GB RAM and 64GB storage variant was available even like about 35 minutes into the flash sale.
Wow, okay. I think that says a lot then. Because mostly Xiaomi fails are like, Xiaomi phones are gone in seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So this one is clearly not one of the, you know, best models out there.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anyway, so I think the other phone has sort of been, you know, waiting to be spoken about. We can already see like some tears showing up on the phone screen just because we're not talking about it. So Motorola One Power. Aditya, you know, before we obviously like wrap up and give a verdict of both of these phones, let's just talk about this phone. So my understanding is that this has the Snapdragon 636 chipset, which is also seen in the Redmi Note 5 Pro and a bunch of other phones in the mid-range segment.
So currently, you know, you have the Nokia 6.1 Plus, you have the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 with the same... And then you have the Redmi Note 5 Pro, like we discussed. That was the first phone with the Snapdragon 636 in India. So this has the similar processor. And honestly, Motorola has kind of got the pricing right. Yes, like, I won't say it's spot on.
15,999 rupees for a single variant, which is 4GB RAM and 64GB of storage.
And you have expandable storage. It has a dedicated microSD card slot, which means you can pop in a microSD card and expand storage further. And other specifications are quite similar. So you like, and you know, they've kind of priced it similarly to the Nokia 6.1 Plus. Because I think Nokia, Motorola looks at Nokia as the first, like the primary target. Because the Nokia 6.1 Plus is also part of the Android One program. So that kind of puts both phones on the same, it's the same platform for both of them.
So before you go on, for those who don't know, the Android One program is essentially like a guarantee of fast Android updates. Not necessarily like day one updates. You won't be on the same level as the Google Pixel phones. But it will guarantee that, you know, updates will be faster.
Security updates will be guaranteed, and even software updates. I think one or two major software updates is guaranteed.
So it's a good thing if you like, you know, your phones to have stock Android and also them to be getting quick updates.
And, you know, when you have Android One on a Moto phone, it's like, you know, even if you look at Moto phones in the past, they already ran pretty much a stock version of Android with customizations from Motorola. So the customizations bit has been toned down. And honestly, after Lenovo took over Motorola, we have seen a lot of bloatware also being pre-installed on Moto phones. And this thing feels like, you know, Moto from 2013, 2014, when it was pure stock Android, would get quick updates. Yeah, that is what this feels like, you know, a Moto from the past.
Yeah, exactly. So the Moto brand has an interesting history, if I may say that. When the in the days of the Moto Razr back in 2008, 9, around that time, not sure about the year, used to be really popular, like was looked at as a good alternative to Nokia, which was also like pretty much dominating the Indian market at that time. Then sort of went through an up and down phase where like the company went through like a few acquisitions. Like it obviously was not doing very well before Google bought that brand
in 2011.
And then they started making some Android phones which were like widely appreciated for like the stuff they added on top of Android, which includes certain customizations which we'll get to in a bit. Then Lenovo bought that brand from Google because Google was not able to make money from that, and they were running losses, I think, and Lenovo bought that brand, and currently Motorola is owned by Lenovo. And Lenovo itself has done some like rather strange rebrands of this. First, obviously, like when Google was launching phones, it was calling these phones Moto G, Moto X, etc. So Lenovo continued with that. Then for a time it said, okay, now this is just Moto. You know, we don't want any other name to it. So just no Motorola, nothing, just Moto. And then they changed back again to using the Motorola name. And, you know, they mentioned the Lenovo name also on the box, I think.
Yeah. So on the phone, actually, you have the entire Motorola branding kind of, you know, plastered on the front. So you know that you're holding a Moto phone.
Yeah.
Because earlier the branding was missing. Even at the back, you know, the positioning of the fingerprint scanner, that has Motorola's Batwing logo. So that has kind of come back again. And other than that, yeah, it just feels good, well built. I haven't used the Nokia 6.1 Plus, but I kind of like the fact that it has a glass body at the same price, whereas this has like a metal backplate.
Yeah, I think that makes it, I mean, it doesn't have as much of a premium feel, and it is a bit heavy. That was my only sort of...
Yeah, it does feel heavy. It's like 205 grams on the scale. So yeah, it does feel heavy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, it before we recorded this podcast, it doesn't sound like much, 205 grams, but on a phone that you use on a daily basis, I mean, your hands are going to be aching after a while if you use it, you know, with just one hand. Other important thing is the 5000 milliampere hour battery on this one. So now, Aditya, I know you've had limited time with this, but any thoughts you can share on the battery life?
So the battery life, it is interesting for this phone. So I've managed to run our standard video loop test. So that's gone on for 16 hours and 8 minutes, which is like good. So you can watch quite a lot of movies and game on it. So even yesterday, my entire day, I started the day with close to 70% battery. And ran pretty much all our benchmark tests on it, clicked a few photos, used navigation for 2 hours, and with an active WhatsApp account as well. And I ended the day with 20% of battery still left. And right now it's still not charged. It's currently at 5%. So, you know, I'm going to use it. I'm going to let it drain and then use it for the charging test to see, because Motorola also bundles a turbocharger in the box. So it's a 15 watt charger. And that is what I kind of appreciate. Primarily because it's not only job done by giving a big battery. You know, what's the point of having a big battery if you only have like a 5 watt or a 10 watt charger in the box? You'll have to plug the phone in for close to 3 hours. Like a 10 watt charger with this kind of battery will take easily 3.5 to 4 hours to charge it completely, which means that you have only like 20 hours of the day left with your phone. And it's not recommended to leave your phone plugged in at night.
Yeah.
So the turbocharger is fast when it comes to charging. I will be checking that out. But, you know, with my usage, I think this phone should be able to manage 2 days, if not more. Like 1.5 days is guaranteed, but beyond that, I don't
know. So you're saying, like, even with heavy usage, it should easily go beyond a day and a half?
I think...
Or you should get about a day and a half?
About a day with heavy usage, because my usage wasn't really heavy. So a heavy usage, I would say... When you're playing like PUBG or Asphalt 9 for probably
hours. Considering you started at 70% and it is still not dead at the end of the day, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, it is good. Say. So, again, it was like a 9 to 9 kind of a 12-hour day.
That's not bad.
So, yeah. So, if you can pull that, yeah, easily. With light usage, I think you should be able to...
Easily get a day or even two maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the customizations that we mentioned earlier, Motorola is known for doing this. I mean, Moto, ever since Google bought it, add some small little tweaks on top of Android. But this phone, I believe, since it's part of the Android One program, they've chosen to not give that many customization options because they said on stage that, you know, if we add that, then it'll delay updates.
Yeah, so Motorola always added stuff on top customization, and they called it Moto Actions. So, which meant that, you know, you can basically chop the phone 2 times to turn the flashlight on, or, you know, you can twist it twice, like a double crank gesture to get the camera fired up.
Yeah, so when the Google acquisition happened and Google released the first Moto phones, they had done some really nice tricks around...
This is for the Moto X.
Yeah, for the Moto X, like around driving also. Like, you know, you could use the phone while driving and it would go into a different sort of a driving mode in that.
So all that is not there on these phones. Even after, you know, the Lenovo acquisition, those modes have not been there for a while. Like you still have. So what it'll do is it'll kind of detect that you are in driving mode and put all the calls on silent, or probably respond message back saying that you're not available and you're currently driving. Now on the One Power, what these guys have done is they've maintained like two Moto Actions and their... ambient display like feature, which means that the display lights up whenever you pick it up or whenever you have a notification, and you can read the notification on top of it. And apart from that, you have the flashlight and the camera gestures and nothing else. So I think it's fine. You're not missing out on anything. So I was just comparing it with a Moto G5 Plus that we have. So that had a very cool fingerprint navigation gesture, you know, which you can use the fingerprint scanner, which was positioned on the front, to use it for navigation. Now that is not there on this phone, and it isn't even possible because the fingerprint scanner is on the back. So yeah, that way I don't think people are missing out on a lot, but yeah, I should be happy with what the actions that are already there.
Okay, so competing phones for the Motorola One Power, we already mentioned the Nokia 6.1 Plus, and I believe the general consensus here is that the build quality is a bit more premium on that, but the battery life is better on the Motorola One Power. Yeah, but beyond that, there's also the Xiaomi Mi A2, which is also a part of the Android One program. So. Yeah, right. How does it fare against that
one? So the Mi A2 is also, like, you know, it's a part of the Android One program, and it is priced at 16,999, if I'm not wrong. And it is interesting because it is way more powerful. It has a Snapdragon 660 processor, but the downside is that it has a smaller battery. So it has a 3000 milliamp hour battery, and when you couple it with a 660, which is a powerful processor, if you are into heavy usage, gaming and stuff, you will be able to play games at higher frame rates and stuff, but you will drain the battery faster. And two of the issues that I had with the Mi A2 when I reviewed it was a missing headphone jack. Now, I don't know why Xiaomi went ahead and, you know, got the headphone jack out. Clearly, yeah. There's a lot of space on the phone for a headphone jack. So that and non-expandable storage. So a lot of people want expandable storage on it because...
Especially around that price.
Around that price, exactly. Yeah. So at that price point, yeah, it is kind of missing out on these two features.
Yeah, but what about the Redmi Note 5 Pro, right? And I believe you reviewed the Redmi Note 5
yeah,
Pro.
Yeah, the Redmi Note 5 Pro is, I believe, is still a pretty good competitor if you don't mind MIUI. So, I mean, I know a lot of people do not, in fact, like stock Android. They like the customizations of MIUI and ColorOS and Samsung's, you know, custom OS. So a lot of people actually prefer this. So if you are one of those people, I think the Redmi Note 5 Pro is a very good alternative. It checks all the right boxes. It's a pretty powerful phone, and it does pretty much everything. It does well in all areas, like battery life, camera, and everything is all pretty good.
So MIUI is pretty, like, feature loaded, but yeah. I think it's gotten spammy now, like
very spammy, especially in the Redmi 6 Pro. Like, you know, that the Mi Store and the Mi Community app just, like, keep sending random notifications all the time, and I couldn't find any way to disable that.
Apparently there is a way to disable all these ads, but it's, like, so deeply buried that for most people finding that will be a task in itself.
Exactly. But also keep in mind that the Redmi Note 6 Pro, or is it just the Redmi Note 6?
Note 6, yeah.
Is also rumored to launch very soon, which would most likely come in and replace the Redmi Note 5 Pro pretty soon. So that's another thing to look out for.
Yeah, so basically, Redmi Note 5 Pro at this point is maybe, you know, not recent enough for most people to consider over the Motorola One Power.
Yeah.
So Nokia 6.1 Plus or this one. Whereas with the Redmi 6 Pro, what are your thoughts on the competition around this phone? So I think the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 still competes with that one. There is also the Oppo Realme 1, which starts at 12,000 rupees.
No, it's actually cheaper.
10999 is where
Is it 10999? Because I thought it was like 8990.
You mean Realme 2?
No, the Realme 1.
The Realme 1.
Yeah, they had a base variant and then they discontinued
that.
And then the second variant was starting at around like, 12,000 or 11,000. I forgot.
Yeah, that's still a good option. Although that does, it doesn't have a fingerprint sensor. Scanner, yeah. That's one thing that was missing from that.
Yeah. So, you know, the Realme 1, it starts at like 10,990, which is, you know, pretty much, it's actually cheaper than this phone, right?
It is cheaper. Redmi 6 Pro, yeah.
And that thing has, the Realme 1 has a powerful processor. So the Helio P60
yeah.
is actually a very powerful processor. And there's one more interesting smartphone that was launched yesterday only. That is the Nokia 5.1 Plus. Now that also has the Helio P60.
Hmm.
It is a part of the Android One program. And the only downside that I can see with that phone is that it has an HD Plus display.
Hmm.
And, you know, not so... You still get the notch. So in case you want, would you kind of recommend it?
No, I would say skip the notch entirely because it's terribly done and terribly implemented. So do not go by the design unless you like really like it for some reason. But instead of the Redmi 6 Pro, I would say, you know, save 1,000 rupees and get the Redmi Note 5. Mm. Or for the best value, just get the Zenfone Max Pro M1, which is ready to buy at any point. You don't have to wait for a silly flash sale.
And it's stock Android as well.
And it's stock Android. And it's got everything you would need from a phone, budget phone.
Yeah, so the notch on the phone screen has been around since the iPhone 10 came out, I think, in 2017. Yeah. But in the budget segment, it's still like early days for the notch, and like for manufacturers trying to add in that extra screen space and implement this design, I think, you know, the optimizations are far from ready just yet in the lower end of the price bracket. We saw this with the Realme 2, which is an okay phone, not great. The Realme 1 is a much better phone overall. That phone starts at, what, 9,000 rupees now? And, you know, in our on this podcast, in a previous episode, we did mention that it's not as good. Similar thing, you know, we are looking at now with the Redmi 6 Pro.
Yeah.
There is the notch. Yeah, sure. If you want it, if you really want a phone that has a notch and, you know, maybe looks like certain other phones, then, all right, sure. This is your pretty much your only choice at that price point. But then again, like, would you rather have better performance at the same price, or would you rather have the notch? So that's a question that, you know, everyone can easily answer. But we maybe can expect in another maybe 6-8 months or so, we'll see phones that have this notch design on the display, which actually perform better and are priced sensibly as well. Can't exactly, you know.
I think, yeah, the sub 10,000 or even the market between 10 to 15, it's like a buyer's market, because the kind of options you have right now, you know, you have processors right from the Snapdragon 450 that the Realme 2 came with, all the way up to the Snapdragon 660 that's there on the Mi A2.
Yeah.
So, you know, people have a lot of options to buy, you know, to choose from. With notch, without notch, stock Android, custom UI, whatever. So, you know, it's interesting. And going ahead, we can only expect more manufacturers to kind of jump in, primarily because a lot of smartphones are selling in this price range only.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how all of these things turn out. And in 6 months, maybe, you know, we'll actually be recommending a phone that has a notch display and is available in the budget segment. Right then, so I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Now, if you're one of those tech-savvy people who uses one of these podcast apps to listen to this episode and all other episodes of Orbital, then please do subscribe to our show via Google Podcasts on your Android phone or Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, and do rate us there. Your ratings, your reviews, your subscriptions, they help us a lot. Thank you.